to move quickly into what I want to share with you this morning. I believe I've got something important and valuable to share with you. And I'm so excited because when I pray about what I believe the Lord area the Lord wants me to move into, as I study and pray about it, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes I just have to stop and because scriptures start coming to my mind about how it all kind of ties together. And so by the time I get here in the morning, sometimes it just feels like it just wants to come out of me real quick. And because God has stirred in me something. Now, I'm saying that to say this. Each and every one of you carry a supply of the Spirit of Jesus on the inside of you. Each and every one of you carry something that is so valuable, that is so precious, and God wants you to release it. And so look for opportunities to release what God has put on the inside of you. Look for opportunities to be able to share the love of God with somebody else. You know, we all carry giftings and callings, but really the most valuable thing that we have to share is the work that Jesus has done on the inside of us. And every one of us can testify to that. And when you realize that, when you realize that you carry something very valuable and you carry a treasure on the inside of it, you get excited the way I get excited when I come here on Sunday morning. You get excited to want to share it. You get excited to want to bring it out. Because you know that it'll touch somebody's lives and change them. Because you have the answer for a lot of hurting people out there. Whether you realize it or not, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has got the answer for the devastation that so many people are going through today. Amen. Now, let's go real quickly to just, you don't have to turn these, well, you can't look at them on the screen this morning, I guess. So maybe you should. You know, sometimes maybe that screen shouldn't be there. We should get used to using our Bibles, turning to scriptures, because hopefully that, you know, when you come to church, it's not a place to be trained to use your Bible. You should train yourself at home to use your Bible. But anyway, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, just a portion of scripture I'm going to read there, because I want us to get a concept of what value hearing and obeying the Word of God is. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." Let me ask you this question. Who is the greatest prophet that ever lived? Jesus. So he would be included in this, wouldn't he? Yeah. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. So if you believe in Jesus, you shall prosper. Another definition for prosper is to live at God's highest appointed level for you. So if we listen to the prophets, if we listen to Jesus, he will bring us into a place of living at God's highest point that he has for us. In the New Testament, we hear about a man who listened to Jesus' words. John 4:50, here a man was going to Jesus because his son was sick and is asking Jesus to come and heal his son. And Jesus said to him in John 40:50, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word. Say this with me. I must believe the words of Jesus. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. So we see that it's been proclaimed in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles, that if we believe the word of God, if we believe the prophets, if we believe Jesus, we will prosper. And here in the New Testament, we see where Jesus spoke the word, a man believed it, and he got a blessing. And I want us to realize this, that when we hear the word of God, when there's a word that comes to us, whether it be by reading his word or he speaks to us in our innermost being, that as we obey and walk in it, we'll receive blessing. Now, all of this must be done by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those who come to him must believe that he is." That he is what? That he is God, that he is all-knowing, that he is everywhere, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Say, I must seek God. I must seek God. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. So think about that for a moment now. As we seek him, there is reward. Now, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, Verse 20. But lay up your, Jesus speaking, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this is very interesting. Jesus, in this portion of scripture here in this chapter, he's talking about, he has a lot to do with finances. He talks about money a lot and talks about material things. And he's saying to us to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Because if we get all, spend all our time trying to get things here on the earth, you know, if we desire things here on the earth and spend all our time toward those things, all we're doing is putting treasure on earth. But he's saying we are to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven, because if we lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven, we will not lose it. It will always be there for us. It's kind of like a guy I remember who was in business, and there was a couple of partners, and one was a Christian, one wasn't. This Christian guy, he gave thousands of dollars to the mission field. Anyway, later on, something happened in the business. They lost everything. And the guy who was not a Christian said, "Now, don't you feel like a fool that you give all this money away to the mission field, and you could have had all that, and you lost it all?" The Christian guy looked to him and he said, "You don't realize, you just don't see it, do you? The only thing that I actually saved is what I gave away. I didn't lose that at all. I give it to missions. I give it to the kingdom of God. I give it, that is treasure in heaven that he would have." And Jesus is instructing us to make sure we're laying up treasure in heaven. Verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, we have to realize that it's going to be one or the two. We can't serve both. We are either going to use money or it'll use us. We are going to either serve God or serve money. We can't do both. We are going to serve material things or we're going to serve God. We can't do both. Material things will either have us or we will have them. And it's a whole lot more healthier for us to have them and not them have us. If we serve God, we will be able to have them and enjoy them. But if we serve them, they'll have us and they'll put us in bondage. The material things can put you in bondage to be busy looking after them all the time. Now, verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry." Say this with me. "I'm not supposed to worry." Now, if we could get that down as a body of believers, as Christians, if we could get that down. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying," say, I'm not supposed to worry. "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry?" Say, I'm not a worrier. Amen. A whole bunch of us would get a long way in life if we repeated that statement a lot and learned how to function in it continually. I'm not a worrier. You know, sometimes you look at people and look at them and you watch them and you watch their life and their worries, you call them worry warts. Well, it's time to have that wart removed. That's right. Time to have that worry wart removed. And you can do that by faith. You can get rid of those worry warts. Amen. By faith. Years ago, I was in another church, and I wasn't pastoring in that church, but I was in another church, and I had told a story somewhere down the line with some people about how I used to have warts on my hand. I had some big ones, one here and same on the other side. And they never really bothered me much. I never paid much attention to them. But one day I had a shovel and I was shoveling. And it was rubbing up against this wart and it started making it real red and it got really sore. And I remember looking down on them and I said, I don't need these warts in my hand. In the name of Jesus, I claim healing. I claim that these warts would disappear in the name of Jesus Christ. I lay claim to that now, Father, that you would remove these from my hands in Jesus' name. And then I just went about continuing to shovel and continuing to do whatever I was doing. And then one day, I was in church. Not long after that, I was in church. And I looked down at my hands and you couldn't even see where they were. Totally gone. Totally gone. And I told that story to some people in the church. And it was a lady in the church who had a young daughter. And she had warts in her hand. And she told her, why don't you go and ask Bill how he got rid of his warts? So she came to me. She's just a little girl at that time. I forget how old she was. But anyway, I told her the story, just as simple as that. We were sitting on a chair and with a bunch of people at some meeting, and I just told her the whole story. And so I prayed with her, prayed over her hands and so forth, and I said, let's believe together that these will be gone. So I kind of forgot about that and blessed her. And then one day, I was in church, and there was a lot of people, and I seen this little girl coming through the crowd, and kind of, Bill, look at my hands. Holding them, it's totally clear, totally gone. God can heal warts. Yes. And he can heal a worry wart, yes, if we'll believe. But you have to believe. You have to believe. You have to set your faith in God that the words that you speak, the things that you ask for, God hears you, and God will put in a chain of events that will cause that thing that he has for you to come to pass. If we'll stay in faith and believe him. Look at the birds. Where was I at? Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Now consider the lilies. What did he ask us to consider them? What did he ask us to look at? Not only look at the lilies, but he said consider them. And the point he was making is look at how they grow. Look at how the lilies grow. The emphasis is on how they grow. Many of us are trying to grow from without, but the lily grows from within. The lily grows from the nutrients that it gets from the soil and the water and so forth that comes, and it begins to produce this wonderful flower, the beauty of it, and you and I get to see the beauty on the outside of what is accomplished on the inside. But unfortunately, many times as Christians, we try to work on this outward stuff first. We try to get everything right on the outside without dealing with the inside. That doesn't work. We got it backwards. You and I as Christians need to deal with things on the inside. And as we deal with things on the inside, as we walk with God on the inside, as we wholeheartedly give our lives to God and the kingdom of God, then we'll begin to produce something that's beautiful on the outside. Some of us have to work harder than others to get that beauty to come forth on the outside. But I'm telling you, it will. Amen. It will as we take time. What are you laughing at, Ross? If we take time to work on the inside, something beautiful is going to come on the outside. Listen, I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart. I see you as beautiful people. I really do. I love you. I care about you. There's nothing that I won't do for you to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and prosper and pursue good things in life. Because I see you as beautiful because God has created in you a brand new spirit. He's created in you something awesome. He's created in you something beautiful. And if you could see in the spirit realm, if you could have your eyes open to the spirit realm, I'm convinced you'd look around at everybody else and say, wow, is everybody good looking in this place? This is a good looking bunch of people. Because something's happening on the inside. God wants us to look at the inside. Now, verse 29. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Say this with me. I'm not a worrier. I'm not going to worry. Therefore, do not worry, saying. Saying. How do you worry? You say things. You murmur. Do not worry saying, how do I worry about not being able to make my car payment? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do when at the end of the month. And you know, I kind of got tricked into this car deal, and now I don't know how I'm going to make my payments. You know, you worry by saying things all the time. If you're going to get clear of the worry wart concept, you're going to have to change your speaking. You're going to have to speak about things that are positive as opposed to negative. You can't get rid of the worry wart and continue to mouth bad things. Do not worry by saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? These are all basic things. And so many people worry about those things by saying, well, the interest rates are going to go up eventually. So, you know, I can't do this or I can't do that. Or I'm not talking about, you know, we need to use logic, but worry shouldn't be part of our logic.